precious Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, to give us new life and all the benefits of belonging in your family. So we thank you. We pray in his precious name, the name of Jesus, the name above all names. So we thank you, Lord God, for this time that we gather together in this Christmas morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles with me this morning, we are going to preach a few minutes. And I want to read a little bit of the story caption here of the birth of Jesus Christ. We all remember the story, and you just saw the story that we just saw earlier, actually, on the video. And we want to talk about the greatest gift given to man. In the first chapter of the book of Luke, starting from the 26th verse, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel to Gabriel. This is the New Living Translation. To a virgin named Mary, she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age." The emphasis is old, so that you need to understand what's happening here. People used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Then the angel left her. I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning about the greatest gift ever given to mankind. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, the Bible says, the prophet Isaiah, I'm quoting from, "And he was moved by the Holy Spirit. All scripture has been given by the Spirit of God." He said, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." As you can see here in this verse of Scripture, that Jesus has many, many names. But it was the name of Jesus that was given that would be a name above all names. It'd be a name, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, that it's a name that's above every name that can ever be mentioned. That name is above sickness. It's above cancer. That name is above poverty. It's over any other thing that would bind people. That name will get you into heaven. That name will get you healed. That name will make you happy. It'll set you free. Amen. So that name is a name. He has other names, of course. His name is Jesus. He's Wonderful. You know, he's our counsel when we need it. He's the Mighty God, representing the Father here, what you saw, what he did. Everlasting Father. And he's the same as Father God. He's one of the same. Jesus and the Father are one, and the Holy Spirit is one. It's hard for our minds to get over that, but don't let that follow you up. You have to believe it in your heart. It has nothing to do with your head. Now, as you mentioned, as we can see here, this very few scriptures in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to the 38 verse, you see that This was a supernatural intervention of God for humanity. The Bible says that the prophets record for us that God looked down from heaven and he saw that there was no intercessor. And of course, the word intercessor means someone who could go between, an advocate, a lawyer, who would plead on behalf of mankind to ransom them. Jesus is our ransom. Jesus was given to pay the price for our sins so that when we die, you don't go to hell. I know people might have told you go to hell, but that's a horrible place to be. No one would want to go there. You wouldn't want to wish your worst enemy. Jesus paid the price. And the Bible says that this was a supernatural intervention of God, God sending his son. There's nothing else that could redeem mankind but Jesus as a sacrifice, his blood written, or the New Testament written in his blood. And that blood was our covenant. And the covenant, if you understand covenant, the covenant meant that whatever you arrange and when you begin to make a covenant with someone, one of the outstanding things about a covenant is that whatever belongs to that person belongs to you now. And whatever you have will belong to them. It's a covenant. God says your enemies will be my enemies. I didn't hear any amens there, but I'm saying that it's important for us to recognize that anything that would come against you, poverty, sickness, disease, addictions, fears, is an enemy to your soul and it's an enemy to God. God says, whatever comes against you, I'll come against them. I'll fight for you. I'll fight your battles for you. Anybody ever had battles? Did you have a battle during Christmas time? Some of you had some battles, little ones maybe, big ones. But nevertheless, God says, I'm gonna help you overcome those. I will help you overcome those. One of the most horrible things that people can go through is the dying of a loved one during Christmas time. Some of us have experienced that. Some of us even went through that ourselves. And we know that God can intervene. This morning we'll be praying for a young man who's literally given up to die. We're going to lay hands on a tuke, and we will send the power of God by faith into that tuke. And the man is in ICU. We're going to pray for that and believe God for a special miracle. How many of you can say amen to that? If it was your loved one, you would be the first one in line to believe. When we pray for this cloth, I want you to use your faith. If you don't have any faith, don't even think anything. Just agree with us. All we need is agreement. Because I know that person's mother or relative is behind them pulling for them right now this morning. Glory to God. Now, this was a supernatural intervention because God sent his son Jesus Christ in a seed form into a woman. And it was not the blood of man that had to redeem. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. It was pure from heaven. And so how could a young woman that never had sex before have a baby? Well, God arranged that by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Are you guys doing okay this morning? I need a little bit of extra help this morning. It's Christmas morning. I know you did all your shouting around the tree, but let's go ahead and have some shouting over here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you, this morning, it's been a long night for myself as well, but I'm doing my best to be here. If I told you about my night, you wouldn't believe it. Now, it was a supernatural intervention. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into a young woman who would say yes. She said, be it done unto me according to your word. Oh, Jesus, whatever you said. She prayed the prayer of submission. She prayed the prayer of consecration and dedication to God. Whatever happened, whatever your word says about me, Lord, she says, go ahead and do it. Now, God wants you to know this morning, this Christmas, that whatever his word says about you, you need to say, Lord, whatever it is, you go ahead and do it in my life. Because all he wants for you is good. Now, notice the angel said, for with God, nothing is impossible. That leaves nothing out. Nothing is impossible. You wear hearing aids? Well, nothing is impossible. You got cancer? Nothing is impossible. The name of Jesus. If we'd only believe the name of Jesus stronger than we ever had. You know? So, we've never been to a place where we had to believe, some of us. So, we have to be strong and believe God's word no matter what you're feeling, what's going on in your life. No matter what, God's word never changes. Nothing is impossible with God. So we read the story, and we not only did we see an impossible certain situation with Mary. She was engaged to a young man named Joseph, and all of a sudden his wife's going to have a baby, and the angel had to talk to him and convince him as well, and all his friends. Imagine that, what she felt. I mean, we read over the story and never consider the facts about what this young woman had to go through. What his family would go through. And how do you explain to the dad and the parents about this young woman that she's pregnant? And what happened to Joseph? He could have ran away and said, I don't want to be shamed by this thing. So there's a lot of things to consider here that we never thought about educatedly, scripturally, to think about what happened. And also the fact that this was a supernatural miracle that a young woman would get pregnant, and God would do something like that. But also, her cousin Mary, Elizabeth was in her 6th month of pregnancy. She had a son by the name of John. It was a cousin of Jesus who was a prophet. A prophet of God that would go before Jesus and tell him about that my cousin is coming. Just like Ed and I. I don't know if you know Ed's around here. He's telling everybody about Roma. My cousin Roma is a prophet, that's a man of God. But anyway, his own family, Jesus growing up, they thought he was crazy. And I noticed when I became a pastor, I was first of all, I wanted to be a lawyer. Secondly, I wanted to be a professor. And so I went to school, and I was all messed up in the world and got born again. I was in and out of jail and different things like that. And all of a sudden, I got born again and got saved. And people thought I'm nuts. After that. So, I mean, I was crazy before. Now they said, no, he's really crazy. He found religion or something. But Jesus' own family, if you read the stories, thought he's crazy. I don't know, when you get born again, some of your family members think you're crazy. And I was told that I gave up my church, my religion, to become a Christian or become a born-again believer. Because I remember when I got born again, I went to my parish priest and I asked him, I found Jesus, I'm born again. He kicked me out of the place. I'm glad he did. I never went back again. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I went to an evangelical pastor. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost on this one small little church over the other side of the track on the east end. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm just so happy I got filled with the Spirit. Went over to a pastor here who has a PhD in ministry and went and talked to him. And I said, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, you can't have the Holy Ghost. That's not given these days. That was for the beginning of the year. I said, you're too late. I'm already filled with the Holy Ghost. And he convinced me. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen? So I believe in miracles. I wouldn't be praying for that cloth if I didn't. This young lady over here had a brother who's dying, given up to die of cancer. We laid hands on that cloth. Believe God, I can feel the anointing and sense the power of God. And this man is free of cancer today. Hallelujah. And this guy here will be remitted. You know what the Bible says, that cancer is in remission. The Bible says the blood of Jesus remits us from every sin, praise God. Amen? All our old life is in remission. It's covered under the blood of Jesus, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see that this was a supernatural intervention. Secondly, He's a God of impossibilities. He got this young woman impregnated by the Spirit, got this sister. She was barren in her old age, and God intervened for her. We're not taught to believe in miracles today. We're too secularized and too intellectual in our minds that we don't believe anymore. Believing doesn't happen in the head. Believing is of the heart. That's why a lot of things that God does confounds people, because we don't believe with our heads. We educate our heads. The Bible says one of the greatest things after we come to Jesus Christ is educate our mind to the Scriptures of what God's thinking. Our hearts believe, praise God. Amen? With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, the Scripture says. We believe unto salvation, the Scripture says. So God, in chapter 1, verse 37, he says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. An angel told Sarah, or at least, when Sarah, Abraham and Sarah, I'm talking about, this was an old woman, and God visited her and visited Abraham. God told Abraham that he's going to have a child. And he had a child, and he was 99 years old. The wife is 80 years old, and they got pregnant, and that's the line of Jesus right there. Supernatural. Amen. God's greatest gift to us, Isaiah, we read Isaiah, the Bible says in 9:6 that unto us, everybody say unto us. Isaiah said this, unto us a son is given. The greatest gift ever. Isaiah 9:6, unto us, unto you and me, a son is given. And John 3:16, as Pastor said there earlier, Pastor Steve, he said, the greatest gift of all, of course, the gift of salvation, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. I'm going to do some receiving today. God's own son, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, how many of you believe in him? Well, you should not perish. You will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name, the only begotten Son of God. So God gave us his son as a gift for our salvation, total salvation for all of mankind. And the scripture says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that there is salvation and nothing else. You can't get saved no other way. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. The mighty name of Jesus. His name is wonderful. Why? Because it gives you all the wonderful blessings to be in the family of God. You're allowed to come in the presence of God through the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Christmas is about God's Son. It's not about the commercialization of the business of buying and selling and giving and all that stuff, although we enjoy that. That's part of Christmas. Thank God. I'm going to enjoy that. Enjoy my socks as well. It's not about just celebrating holidays or taking days off, although we can enjoy that as well. The whole world stops yesterday and today because of Jesus Christ. Nothing else ever happens all over the world except this. We don't celebrate Buddha or any other religious thing all over the world, but this name that they tried to kill many, many years ago is still going, praise God, getting stronger and stronger. They're selling more and more books is the Bible written about Jesus. So it's not about holidays. It's not about Santa. It's not about the little elves and the North Pole and all that kind of stuff. Thank God for little stories that make you laugh when you're a kid. It's all about the incarnated Son, not the incarnation milk. Incarnated Son. What does Christmas mean? Well, the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 12, as I end here with three more points, which I will extend for another 7 minutes. I'm going as fast as I can. I know chicken is on the stove. Turkey, I guess, for some people like ham. They said, I'm not going to eat turkey this year. I'm going to eat ham. What kind of a Jewish man are you? No, we just, we're free to eat anything. I'm going to go home and eat rabbit today. Ooh, rabbit. Well, some of my native friends come from Long Lake. They brought me a bunch of rabbit, so we eat that this afternoon. I'm just kidding, no. No, okay, glory to God in the highest, Luke 2:14. Didn't say glory to God in the lowest. Glory to God in the highest, amen? He's above the high, everything. High is heaven, praise God, amen? Glory to God, he says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. You know, you're going to have peace here on earth, even in the midst of trouble. I'm a man at peace, praise God. Do I have troubles? Yes, I do have troubles. But I've got peace that the world can't take away. And goodwill towards all men. I know when I'm in different towns, I go to Tulsa, I always see goodwill stores everywhere. Some of those guys working in there, they don't seem to be in goodwill. They need to read out their signs. This is a goodwill store. But anyway, so first of all, three things I want to leave with you, I thought. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill. Three things. Number one, Christmas is all about the glory of God. It's a time of rejoicing. If you never get any presents, rejoice anyway. You're born again, amen? I remember years ago, I never had any gifts for years and years and years. You know what? Even that's why today I don't mind not even getting it. If I want a gift, I'll go buy it myself. Amen. I mean, it's nice when people give me gifts. Pastor Ken gives me gifts all the time. I was used to that growing up in the res. I mean, we never had nothing. Praise God. But now, Lord of God Almighty, we got chicken everywhere. Amen. So rejoice. It's time to give God praise. It's a time to give gratitude to God. Heart of gratitude, filled with thankfulness to God. You know, grateful about what our salvation means. Salvation doesn't mean when you die, you go to heaven. Salvation means that right here on earth, that everything that Jesus got for you, we can believe God by faith. Although it's not automatic, you can believe. As the story goes, you know, in the Old Testament, God promised the Israelites the land of milk and honey. Did you know they had to fight giants and fight all off all the enemies? And you and I, it's a type of thing today. If we're going to enjoy life, we're going to have to do some fighting by faith. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Thank God for that. So we are not just forgiven, but we're renewed totally in our spirit. So we need to rejoice and forget about your troubles this morning and begin to thank God for what you have today. Amen. Secondly, peace. It's time to enjoy the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that's not, that Jesus said, I got a peace in the Gospel of John, a peace that the world cannot give you. It cannot take it away. So it's a time of peace. It's a peace that God says, that I've accepted you, that I'm not mad at you, I'm not going to condemn you, you're my child. It's the peace with God that passes all understanding, that Jesus paid all your debts. We owe God nothing right now. He's not counting all your trespasses. He said, you owe me this penalty, and I'm going to get you when you die and send you somewhere where you don't want to go. But God's already arranged the fact that the moment you take your last breath, you'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ. That is the Bible. Peace. That's good peace. Because you don't have to be afraid to die. You look forward to it. Glory to God. When you're ready, not right now, but when you're ready. You're ready. Yeah, you can, you know. So thank God. We need to get over that. Get over it. Just, you know, say, hey, if I die, I'm going to heaven anyway. So read about it and study it. You won't be afraid anymore. Number three, God's will, goodwill. God's will is goodwill. It's the time to receive God's favor. His blessings he gave us through salvation. God favors you. His mercy is new every day. And no matter what happens, you need to remember to rejoice this Christmas. And remember to enjoy your peace. And remember you to remember goodwill and give your goodwill to other people. Treat everybody nice. Smile even when you're having a hard time. Don't let the world know you're having a hard time. But tell God all your troubles and begin to believe Him for the best. Everybody stand up. Praise God. We want to pray for the cloth. And I'd like to get some ministers up here of music. Thank you, Lord. Joy to the world. We'll sing that song as we close. But play a little bit of some instrumental first, because that's when the anointing comes. Pastors, come on over here. First. This is an origin head. I don't know if the anointing will go in that orange. It already has a business on there, so we'll cut that off. Where's that scissor? Okay, guys, put your hand on it. Father, everybody, let's pray over this right now. There's a young man in the hospital, Lord, that we're praying for right now. And I know that his parents and whoever his relatives are pulling for him. They're hoping. But we're not only hoping, we're believing. We're believing that the anointing of God, just because you said in your word, we're obeying it right now. We're sending the healing anointing, the miracle anointing that will drive sickness and disease out. And we're trusting God right now to raise that young man up, that he would know you and give him a chance to be born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and serve you. Let him know who he is. He's only 26 years old, Lord. He doesn't have to die now. And if he dies without you, he'll go to hell. So we're praying for him right now to send forth a mighty anointing to break every disease and every sickness. So we're trusting that anointing going into this hat, this cloth, and drive out that sickness. And these people are your witnesses here today, Lord. Your word is your witness to us that you are the God of the possibilities and shall do the impossible. In Jesus' name, we send it off, believing, healing and recovery, supernatural miracle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Give that to Paul. Who's this for? We do have this year, some of you maybe perhaps didn't get involved with Father's House offering. We're giving these tickets out. And you can have one for free. And that is Father's House Christmas offering, and this goes towards the building. If you've enjoyed the building, you've enjoyed the ministry here, it's a chance to get a little bit grateful and give an offering so that we can start paying some debt off the building. So do something extra special today, Pastor Ken, and you go ahead and hand these out as people walk out the door. And Pastor Dave, you got some there? And I have a couple as well. So let's go ahead and close. Father, we want to thank you today. We thank you for everyone's family, and we ask your blessing upon each household